You again, eh? Just couldn't stay away, could ya? I can relate. I'm a glutton for punishment myself. Just so there aren't any surprises, what you're about to hear is totally made up. Yep, all falsehoods and imagination. Hope you're not too disappointed.
Greetings and salutations. You're listening to the Red Mullet Podcast, and I'm your host, Red Mullet. Or the Red Mullet. Whatever rolls off your tongue easiest. There's only one of me, so it don't much matter. Of course, it is a bit of a disambiguation, if in you're referring to the fish, in which case I suppose there are an unknown number of red mullets out there. Not that they all fight crime, though I guess they do contribute to the environment in their own way, maintaining the delicate balance of their ecosystem and whatnot. Man, that would have segued nicely into our guest for today. Maybe I should have saved that. Cowboy, you think we can edit that so it transitions nicer into the show later?
Probably not.
No matter. I'll make it work. Hey, speaking of contributions and delicate balances, why not contribute to the podcast? You can send us an email at redmulletmovie@andrewchandler.net with your questions and comments, or you can support our sponsors who try to keep us on the air every week. We're going to get one of them Patreon things set up soon so you can send us your hard-earned cash directly. But for now, give us a favorable review on iTunes. We'll be most grateful. Right, CB?
If you say so.
Today's special guest is an extra special one. Unfortunately, he's not here in the HQ with us, mostly due to the fact that he is incarcerated in a maximum security facility just north of the border. That's right. We got us a real live villain on the mic today, via Skype feed, and he's an international one, too. I first met this guy years ago when we were starting out. He'd made a reputation for himself as an anti-environmentalist by blazing a literal trail from Saskatchewan down through the Smoky Mountains and into our backyard. He put up quite a fight. In fact, I gotta admit, I never encountered rage quite like that feller exhibited, especially when we tried to take away his axe. I never knew a person's veins could pop out of their face like that. He did some serious damage and hurt a lot of folks in the wake of his rampaging, but in the end we got him. Took some serious tranquilizers and a whole heap of Marlboro Lights, but eventually he settled down enough we could duct tape him in an empty oil drum and roll him down to the authorities. I hear tell he's in a good place now, not the prison so much, but emotionally and spiritually, but I'm sure we'll hear more about that coming up. Without further ado, I introduce to you, all the way from the Great White North, Niles, the temperamental lumberjack.
Oh, hey, much obliged to you there. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for agreeing to talk to us. You're the first villain we've had on here.
Reformed villain.
Oh, of course. Oh, well, I gotta admit, I don't get the chance very often to sit down and chat with folks from the other side of the law. This is quite a change of pace.
Ah, how about that, eh? Happy to mix things up for you a bit.
Indeed you have. Not like the last time our paths crossed, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I gotta say, I was dealing with some pretty serious issues then, and I feel really bad about the things that I did and said.
Well, I appreciate that, man, but you don't need to apologize to me. Fighting bad guys is just another day in the life for us superheroes.
So that's just the kind of stereotype I want to avoid, right? I don't want to be labeled as a bad guy for the rest of my life. Sure, I made some mistakes, yeah, but, you know, some people got hurt or maimed, and lots of property got damaged, but I'm not that guy anymore.
Oh, I've heard. What kind of guy would you say you are now?
Oh, you know, I just want to be known as a healthy, productive member of society. I managed to get my master's degree in horticulture here online at the penitentiary. With any luck, I can get out on parole in 20 to 30 years and start a community garden in an underprivileged neighborhood of the inner city.
Well, that's something to shoot for. Quite a 180, though, I gotta say. I thought you hated plants.
Oh, yeah, I used to. Anything that was green and growing, I just wanted to chop it down and trample it underfoot. But then one day, as I was reading Walden Pond, I realized, how could anyone hate something that gives us so much, eh? The air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the roofs we sleep under. You see where I'm going with this?
Well, absolutely. I'm a big fan of plants myself.
Right? So, the more I understand how they grow and produce and thrive, the more I found my peace with them.
So, would you go so far as to say that you're a tree hugger now?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yeah, sure. We don't have much interaction with trees here on the compound, but the next time I see one, I wouldn't be opposed to giving her a hug.
That's real weird, man. But I guess prison does strange things to folks.
Oh, I say, I've seen some things that no person should ever have to see. Don't even get me started on what happens in the shower room.
Okay, enough about prison life for the moment. Why don't you take us back a bit? Tell us where it all began.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It all started in Saskatchewan, where I was born. I lived in a cabin in the woods with my mom and dad. He was a lumberjack and she was a school teacher. They were gentle and humble people who never hurt anyone. We lived off the land, hunting and fishing and gathering what we could find. And one day, when I was 6 years old, I was out checking my muskrat traps. When a pair of rabid wolverines surrounded our little homestead and attacked my parents, ripped them to shreds. When I returned home, I found one of them eating my mother's entrails. So I picked up my father's axe and cleft that wolverine in two. When I tracked down the rest of the pack, I slaughtered them in their den. The next day, I sold their pelts to an Indian trader for a crate of smokes.
That is graphic.
Right? Not long after, I resorted to wandering the Canadian wilderness, and I nearly died of exposure. Weeks went by, and I eventually stumbled into a logging camp, tired and emaciated, and still dragging my father's bloody axe behind me. One of the loggers saw me from across the camp and shouted, "Hey, puny Paul Bunyan just arrived." That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, so I chopped off his leg at the knee.
Good Lord.
Took 6 or 7 or maybe 13 other loggers to wrestle the axe away from me and hold me down in an icy watering trough until I calmed down. Then they fed me some back bacon and a stack of pancakes so I stopped biting everyone. Sooner or later, they taught me how to channel my rage into chopping down trees and splitting logs. I was a natural, I tell ya. And just as soon as I was settling in, they turned me over to the Mounties. And I spent the next 9 years in juvie.
Holy mess, then what?
Well, when I finally got out of there, wouldn't you know, I went straight back to that logging camp, but it had already been shut down. I found an axe in the deserted ruins, then decided to go back to my old homestead. It was in pretty bad shape, so I went right to work, chopping trees left and right, and then I fixed it back up into a nice little cottage with those logs. Apparently, some people don't think you should just be able to do that wherever you want. I started getting all kinds of nasty letters and hateful notices from environmental agencies. If I ever went into town, I was getting sideways glances from people I didn't even know, and sometimes children would throw things at me when I walked by. Come to find out, I had been red flagged by the EPA, and the word travels fast in a small town. Some hoser even tried to slap me with a fine while I was burning some trash in my own lawn. That was pretty much the last straw. I sort of lost it. I chopped down so many trees, set fire to some ranger stations, I knocked over recycling bins, I stole the biggest SUV I could find, and always drove away from the fuel pump without paying. I would leave the light switches on and the water running wherever I went. Real unpleasantness like that.
And when did you first make your way down here?
Well, it wasn't long before the Mounties were after me again. I was scorned by society and a wanted man, so I snuck across the border one night with only my axe and a six-pack of beer and also a trash bag full of prescription drugs I had stolen from a pediatric walk-in clinic.
Hello.
I didn't get very far before some eco-terrorist nut recognized me from a chat room posting and started following me around shouting, "Tree killer, tree killer." I managed to bribe him with some generic Viagra before he called the police, but I could not contain the rage for long. I single-handedly leveled a city park in Montana and uprooted a garden at a national monument in South Dakota. Then I destroyed a Christmas tree farm in Iowa, and by the time I got to Illinois, no greenhouse or nursery was safe. I left a confused wake of vegetative disaster in my wake, but I was unstoppable.
Until you got to Kentucky.
That's right, but I didn't even know I had entered the bluegrass state since I could only see red. Day and night, the blood pulsed in my vision, and I saw every living thing as my mortal enemy.
Yeah, man. You were a mess when we found you. Foaming at the mouth and everything.
Well, I'm sure I was quite a sight. I vaguely remember smashing the windows of a little Toyota hybrid and then lighting a little dumpster on fire and pouring battery acid into a storm drain and then taking a dump on a compost pile. Well, in retrospect, I suppose that last one wasn't so bad.
Only you did it on a schoolyard in front of a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah, right. My bad.
That's when we picked up your trail. It weren't too hard to track you down, what with the discarded candy wrappers, beer cans, and cigarette butts, but you sure as snot put up a fight.
For sure. Why you gotta understand I was under a tremendous amount of stress and under the influence of multiple substances.
Well, I believe it. You were swinging that axe and hooping and hollering like a mountain lion passing a kidney stone. We couldn't get anywhere near you.
My actions that day are not indicative of the legacy I want to leave behind.
I should think not, but you sure had us in a spot. If we couldn't get you to settle down, weren't nobody going to sleep that night.
Oh, it's such a shame that you met me in that state. You sure seem like nice fellas. I think we could have enjoyed a nice cold beer or batch of Nanaimo bars under different circumstances.
Maybe so, Niles, but fate had other plans. Fortunately, Cowboy there keeps our arsenal stocked with dart guns and enough tranquilizers to make a Jurassic Park employee feel safe. Still, took some sharpshooting and a few tries to pump you full of enough happy juice that all you wanted was a pack of smokes. Then it took another minute to figure out what you were talking about.
Yeah, the language barrier can be a real hindrance sometimes.
You can say that again. They should offer y'all English as a second language courses up there or something, seeing as how we're so close geographically.
Oh, that's a joke, right?
We're going to take a quick commercial break now. When we return, more from a hardened criminal knucklehead.
When it comes to making independent comics for little or no profit, nobody does it better than Camel Eye Studios. With their long history of abject failure, the creators at Camel Eye Studios are experts at producing content that will be utterly ignored and completely shunned by any and all potential customers. That's you! You are the vital piece that is frequently absent from the puzzle which constitutes any kind of successful business model so far explored by these inept entrepreneurs. And for that, we'd like to thank you. If it weren't for your extreme lack of interest, we might actually feel like our efforts were worth the time and trouble. Your apathy is what keeps us going. Here's to many more years of popular indifference. Camel Eye Studios. If it makes money, we're obviously doing something wrong. Part of the Andrew Chandler Network of Creative Services.
Hey, we're back. Sitting here live streaming with the scallywag of Saskatchewan, the terror of Toronto, the villain of Vancouver. Well, those are just some off the top of my head. I'm sure I'll think of some more.
I kind of hope you don't.
Niles, you've made it pretty clear that you're no longer want to be associated with your vile ways of the past. What other steps are you taking to make amends for your wrongful deed?
Oh, well, there's any number of things I do to be a model citizen in the big house here. I push the library cart, I push the laundry cart, the trash cart, the food tray cart, the medicine cart.
I never knew there were so many carts.
The barbell cart, the AV cart, the arts and crafts cart, that's about it.
Sounds, useful?
Oh, and the flower cart. That's a big one. Can't forget the flower cart.
Uh-huh. The flower cart. In prison.
Yes, sir. You betcha.
That must be a Canadian thing.
You mean you don't have flower delivery at your prisons here in the States?
Not that I'm aware.
Ah, that's a crying shame. Next you're gonna tell me they don't serve poutine in the mess halls.
Did you say pudding? Because I'm pretty sure that they only serve pudding at some places.
No. Poutine. It's like chips with brown sauce and curds, eh?
They serve it like that on purpose? That sounds messy. Do they sell it in bags?
No, for Pete's sake. You take some French fries, right? And you cover it with brown gravy. Then you crumble some cheese curds on top. Oh, it's the best.
I am suspicious of your foreign culinary concoctions, but we might have to give this one a try. Cowboy?
Already on it.
We'll see. If he gives me the runs, though, I'm going to make sure they extend your sentence.
No worries. You'd be begging for more, for sure.
I remain skeptical. All right, Niles. We've established that you push carts as penance, and you put strange things on your fries. What else can you tell us about life in the Canadian big house?
Well, the first thing you learn when you're on the inside is gang association. If you don't join with a gang pretty soon after being locked up, you won't survive very long.
Yes, I've heard of similar things here.
Sure. Some of the gangs wear tattoos or toques or certain types of hair product to differentiate between themselves.
Oh, not too different.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are similar tribal tendencies all over the world. For example, we have the Brotherhood of Beaver Tails, and they are distinguished by their toothpicks and bite marks all over their bodies. And then there's the Maple Moose Mob, and they grow long beards and speak only in nursery rhymes. And we also have the Two Tall Totem Teetotalers, who, they don't drink, but they have a lovely barbershop quartet.
I retract my statement.
Oh, don't get me wrong, eh? There's plenty of bad behavior that goes on. Fist fights and riots and jailbreak attempts, and all that is just during the intramural curling championships. Don't even ask what happens during hockey season.
I shudder to think. Sounds like y'all got it real bad up there.
Oh, it's not as bad as I make it sound. Sorry if I'm complaining too much. It's getting close to tea time, you know, so I get a bit cranky.
Maybe that's the difference between us. Anytime's tea time around here.
Seriously?
Absolutely. Wake up in the morning, have a nice tall glass of sweet tea with breakfast.
You put tea in glasses?
Sure, man. Big 12-ounce glass with some ice. Refreshing.
Oh, yeah, iced tea. With lots of sugar, right. Yeah, I've heard of that.
What do you mean? How do you drink it? Without sugar?
Well, I mean, I put a spoonful of sugar in it. Some of us do. Sometimes milk. Sometimes honey and lemon, but piping hot, you know, with biscuits.
Biscuits and gravy?
No, biscuits with jam, like cookies.
You put gravy on your French fries, but not on your biscuits. That's backwards bonkers, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much more time I've got here, but the guards seem to be distracted by something else outside.
Really? Is it a hostage situation or a badminton match?
I can't see. I hope they didn't run out of Melba toast again. The last time that happened, the inmates were so disgruntled that we ended up losing kids in the hall privileges for a week.
Why in the name of Red Green are there kids running around the halls of a prison?
You know Red Green? Oh, he's Canadian, eh?
Of course I know Red Green. He's the patron saint of duct tape users everywhere.
Oh, of course. Red Green, Red Mullet. I get it, yeah.
Don't change the subject. Children, corridors, prison. Why?
Why? Oh, kids in the hall. It's like a sketch comedy show, like Saturday Night Live. Only it's Canadian, eh?
Does it have subtitles? I don't do subtitles.
Well, you could probably turn on the closed captioning.
But is it funny?
Well, don't you know? Some of the funniest comedians on Earth are Canadians.
I find that highly unlikely. Of course, I guess some things are lost in translation.
I guess.
Cowboy, how we coming with them Putins?
So it should be another 5 minutes. I'm having to substitute cheese curds with mozzarella string cheese. I hope that's acceptable, Niles.
I won't be offended.
Cheese curds seem to be a little harder to come by, though. I could stop by the bovine dairy farm later to see if I can acquire some.
Yeah, you got some connections there, don't you?
Yes, Mullet. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, don't let the fries burn.
Yeah, I'll burn your fries, all right.
I just realized why they call them Putins. It's because they give you gas, ain't it?
No, actually, I think it's French.
Oh, there we go. Trying to be smart and sneaky with your foreign tongue. I won't be ensnared by your sinister plot. Don't matter how delicious and starchy the platter.
Well, come on, you gotta believe me. I bear you no ill will. I'm really trying to stay on the straight and narrow.
Once a criminal, always a criminal, I always say.
That's really not fair.
I ain't saying it's your fault so much. Maybe you was born with it. Maybe it's Saturnalian. I don't know. But the statistics don't lie.
No, hold on a minute.
Don't get yourself all worked into a frenzy.
Oh, no, I should be able to defend myself, eh?
Very well. give it a shot.
Okay, so I underwent a tragic misfortune at an early age. I had no way to process that or a healthy outlet to express what I was feeling. And as a result, my emotional and social constructs were retarded in such a way that I was not able to develop the appropriate responses when it came to engaging the challenges of the outside world.
That sounds like a bunch of psychiatric mumbo jumbo. They teach you to say all that in therapy?
Well, my counselor says that understanding the problem is a huge step towards overcoming it.
That's what I thought. I got a behavioral record here that says you assaulted a guard last month with a shiv made out of Macintosh toffee.
Where did you... That was a misunderstanding. I was trying to surprise him with it.
In his spleen? I'm not totally sure, but I think you're supposed to eat that stuff with your mouth.
He wouldn't let me have my visitation time.
Oh? Visitation time with who?
It's whom.
Maybe in your language.
We speak the same language.
Now I know you're talking crazy.
Just because you don't have an appreciation for your native tongue does not mean that everyone else is saying things wrong.
Fine, whatever. With whom did you want to visit?
Mary. Not that it's any of your business.
Mary, huh? Who's she? Sorry, whom is she?
You had it right the first time. Bloody Mary. She's my axe.
Wait, did you say your ex or your axe?
That would be the latter, axe, with an A. A?
Like the tool you use for chopping stuff?
Yeah, of course. Oh, she's a beauty. Smooth and slender, curvy handle made out of ash. Fine, keen edge with just the right amount of heft. You should see her all wet and polished up.
I don't know what's more disturbing, that you named your axe Bloody Mary, or that you want to have a visitation time with it.
She means a lot to me. She was with me through some very difficult times, all right?
Yeah, okay, I get it. Cuckoo Canuck.
Hey, stop calling me names.
Oh, you mean like Dudley Do-Wrong?
Do not blaspheme his name. That man is a national treasure.
Or what about Numbnuts of the North?
Oh, that's just vulgar.
Manitoba Mama's Boy?
I'm not.
Naughty Newfie Nile.
Enough.
Wait, I got one more. Quasi-bad guy from Quebec.
I am Nye's the Temperamental Lumberjack, and I will be respected.
Someone get that.
Hey, get your hands off me, eh? I'll fight you all. Where's my axe? Where's my Bloody Mary? You won't
hey, can we get some help in here? This hose is getting out of hand.
And someone turn that thing off.
Well, I guess that's our show for today. The first villain guest, but hopefully not the last. I don't know about you, but I sure learned a lot about our neighbors to the north. About to try me some of that Putin stuff. I'll let you know how it is. Hope you join us next time on the Red Mullet Podcast, where we talk to more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains.
This here's been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet and Cowboy created by Jay Choop. For more Red Mullet content, including a webcomic and video clips, go to andrewchandler.net.